apologize again. This year, I forgot to make photocopies of the Gemara in Gittin. If anyone can pull a Gittin from the shelf, I don't know how many we have over here. The Churban Agadotos appear in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin, and they start on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. But in past years, we've learned through much of them. So I don't want to start at the beginning again, and just even though it's always worthy to do chazara and remind ourselves of the sadness of all of the stories surrounding the Churban, there are stories that we haven't seen in a while. So I figured we'll pick up from where I think we left off, maybe in previous years, and hopefully in future years this will just be Bitoras Limud in general, but won't be in Yana Diyoma anymore to learn Churban on Tisha B'Av. Just a reminder, the way this works is it's not really a shir, because one is not supposed to have a public shir on Tisha B'Av. Like Avram writes in Shulchan Aruch that even though Dvarim Harayim you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, one should not have a public shir on Tisha B'Av. So it's more of nor is it very analytical. This is just I'm learning out loud. And if anyone finds value there's certainly value in just hearing the Gemara being read and just hearing the circumstances of the Churban being described. I don't know how long it's going to go for, and certainly no one should feel at all embarrassed to leave at any point from here until we finish. And even if you're the last one here, don't worry, I can't see you. I'm sitting down, so it's fine. You could leave whenever you want. I think we left off in Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph in Maseches Gittin, about halfway through the wide lines. Rav Manyumi is the beginning of the line. Rav Manyumi. So the Gemara tells us about, we already in past years did the famous story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and we described the destruction of certain cities. In the story of the Churban, we described certainly Titus HaRasha and what motivated him and what he did and the kind of chutzpah that he had. And we discussed a place called Har HaMelech, which apparently had an enormous Jewish yeshuv. The Gemara described Har HaMelech as having 600,000 cities, and each of the cities having 600,000 residents, except for three of the cities, which had Keflayim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim, twice that many residents. And you read that Gemara and you say, this is obviously an exaggeration. There were never that many Jews in the world. And then you get a few lines further, and the Gemara says that a tzeduki said to Rabbi Chanina, Shekuri Mishakrisu. You guys are lying. There's no way that the mountain could hold this number of people. And his response was, no, Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. It says about Eretz Yisrael that Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz Tzvi, that Ma Tzvi Ein Oro Machzik As Besaro, Af Eretz Yisrael Bizman She Yoshven Alaha Ravcha Bizman Shein Yoshven Alaha Gamda, that just like a deer, if you ever look at the skin of a deer, it looks like it's wearing a suit that's too small on it. The deer has so much muscle, its flesh seems too big for its skin. And the skin just manages to expand to accommodate however much muscle and flesh the deer has. So Eretz Yisrael is also considered an Eretz Tzvi. It looks like this tiny little land that would never be able to fit a large, thriving people. And yet, as many Jews as come back to Eretz Yisrael, that's how much room there's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Some of the Achronim point out that when it comes to a Tzvi, it's as if each deer was perfectly made for its skin. Meaning most animals or people have some excess skin. So a person could be a little bigger and the skin would still fit. But the deer is just perfectly, it's perfectly matim, the flesh and the bones and the muscle for the skin that fits on the deer. So maybe that's the mashal of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael are matimim zelazeh. They perfectly fit together. That it's the natural place, and it's built that way, that it should be the natural place where the Jewish people should be able to survive and the Jewish people should be able to thrive. So that's what we discussed in past years. So now we're again going to pick up from Rav Manyumi. The Gemara is going to tell us about another village that was destroyed in the times of Churban. Rav Manumi bar Chilkia, Rav Chilkia bar Tuvia, Rav Huna bar Chia, Havu Yasi Gabe Adadi. Three great Amorayim were sitting together. Amri, Iiko Deshmiel Emilsa Mikfar Sechanya Shal Mitzrayim, Lema. And they said, if anyone knows about, anyone has any tradition about what happened in the village of Sechanya Shal Mitzrayim, whether the people there were good people, bad people, what kind of people lived there, so they should tell us about this this village, Kfar Sechanya Shal Mitzrayim. Tell us about this place. Pasachad Minayu. So one of them started to talk, Va'amar, and he said, well, I know a story that happened there. Maisa ba'arus va'arusasa. There was a story of a couple, a young boy, young girl, that were engaged to be married. Erusin is actually more than engagement. It's they were half married. You know, there are two parts of marriage. There are two dinim of marriage. When a person gets married, on the one hand, the woman becomes usher to the rest of the world, but she also becomes mutaras labayla. So when a person has erusin, she has become usher to the rest of the world, but she does not become mutaras labayla until she has nisuin. So they're in this stage of erusin, this in-between stage, which nowadays lasts about 5 minutes, you know, the amount of time that it takes to read a ksuba and call up the people who are going to get the sheva brachos. But it used to be that it would be an extended period of time, that it was a year-long period of time. So there was this arus and arusasa, looking forward to their wedding, looking forward to getting married. Shenishbu lebein ovdei kochavim, and they were captured by the idolaters, they were captured by the ovdei kochavim. V'isium zeh lazeh, but would you believe it, as luck would have it, the idolaters decided to pair them with each other, probably having no idea that this was an arus varusasa, that they were a couple that was in love and that was planning to get married anyway. What luck! They managed to put them together. Umra lo. And this holy young woman says to her beloved, Bivakasha mimcha, I beg of you, al tigabi, don't touch me. Why? She'en li ksuba mimcha. I don't have a ksuba. And without a ksuba, I'm asura to you. The halacha is, a woman without a ksuba is asura labayla. This is a pretty startling thing. Because it's true there is such a halacha, that a woman who doesn't have a ksuba is asura labayla. And one is not allowed to stay living together without a ksuba. But they are married. It's just that they don't have a ksuba. According to many Rishonim, Tanoim, Amoraim, the whole idea of a ksuba is only a din midrabana. So, for the sake of a din midrabanan, in such trying times, there's no social pressure, certainly, for them to observe the halacha. No one was looking. And she had this kind of fortitude, this kind of strength, with a din midrabanan, potentially a din midrabanan. Even if ksuba is daraisa, the yisr of being with a wife without a ksuba is only midrabanan. So definitely a din midrabanan. And she still says, we can't do anything. Velo nagaba ad yom mosa. Doesn't say how long they lived. But they went a lifetime where their captors assumed that they were married and that they were trying to have children, and he didn't touch her. Ad yom mosa, till the day he died. Ukshemes, and when he died, she had survived him. Amra lahen, the arusa, the girl, said to whoever it was, whether it was the captors or whoever, Siptu lezeh shepit beit biyitzro. Probably it wasn't the captors. She was saying to say a hespit, so she was probably talking to Jews. So she said, maybe it was fellow captives, say a proper eulogy for this person who managed to overcome his yetzer hara, Yoser mi Yosef. More than Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his yetzer hara. Of the people historically that are referred to as tzaddik, the reason that Yosef HaTzadik is referred to as tzaddik is mostly because he was a tzaddik yesod olam, he supported the entire world, but also because he faced a remarkable nisayon, removed from his entire family, possibly thinking that they've all given up on him and that he's never going to see them again. And as it was, his family was a small clan that had a certain belief system and a way of life that was completely the opposite of what he was experiencing in Mitzrayim, successfully in Mitzrayim. And the natural thing for a young boy, a good-looking boy, who's rising in the ranks in Mitzrayim, would be to, when in Egypt, do like the Egyptians, and it's a place of Shtufei Zima, and he has this woman who's after him, and he manages to overcome the Yetzer Hara. She grabs his beged, he runs away, at risk of his own life. And this woman says, the hespit to say for my Arus, for my beloved, is that he was more successful in defeating a Yetzer Hara than Yosef HaTzadik was. Why was he more successful? He was more successful in three ways. Yosef HaTzadik had to deal with this Yetzer Hara once. This guy had every single day. We were together, and we were expected to be together. And he managed to overcome it day in and day out. Normally it would wear a person down. People have willpower, but willpower is a muscle. And if a person's willpower is constantly tested without any break, like any muscle becomes fatigued, and a person doesn't have the willpower. That's why in these supermarkets, psychologists point out, in the supermarkets, they're right by the checkout line, there's candy. Because by then, you used all your willpower deciding which brand of orange juice to buy. So you're all fatigued. And then there's candy, and you're out of willpower. So that's why they put it there. They don't put it right when you walk into the store. So this willpower was remarkable, day in and day out. Yosef didn't have that. The Achronim, of course, ask, that seems against the Pasuk in Chumash. Because the Pasuk says, Vayu kedabra el Yosef yom yom. And the Gemara in Yuma, Tafla Menhei, says that Eshes Potiphar was after him every single day. So it's hard to understand why this is greater than Yosef HaTzadik, but perhaps the answer is that Yosef HaTzadik maybe was Yom Yom, but it wasn't 24/7. It was whenever her husband was away and she had a chance alone with Yosef, she would go after him. But it wasn't constant. So his willpower had a chance to regenerate itself. And Adrabah, if a person practices willpower in bursts and then has a chance to relax, so it's like exercising every day. Ultimately, you get stronger and your willpower gets stronger. But this guy, unnamed person, one of the many, many heroes of Jewish history who we don't know, which, by the way, is also an important lesson, that a lot of times there are people that are just completely anonymous to us, not famous, no one talks about them, who do really, really great things. People who may live in our neighborhood, people we may work with, who do remarkable things, quietly. And we just don't know about them. They'll go down in Jewish history as another guy, another person. Another person, another man, another woman. This guy is unnamed. We have no idea who he is. I hear my Talmidim sometimes talking about when they get all frum and they come back from Eretz Yisrael. And they talk about the people in my shul, the balabatim, this, that. You have no idea. You have no idea what people do. You have no idea the kind of chesed that goes on. You have no idea the kind of concern people have. You have no idea the mesiras nefesh that people have. There are a lot of anonymous people doing some amazing things. So one way that the Zuchus was greater than Yosef was because it was constant. It was a constant battle with the Yetzer Hara. Second way, V'ilu Yosef lav b'chadamita. V'hai b'chadamita. Yosef was not put to bed every night in the same bed as Eshes Potiphar. But this guy in the same bed with his with his woman that he was expected to be married to, and he still overcame his Yetzirah and Mamish in the same bed. And the third way, Vilu Yosef lav ishto, v'hai ishto. By Yosef, it was a woman who was forbidden to him. It wasn't his wife. It was wrong. It was immoral. And in this case, this was his wife. It was his arusa. He had shaychus with her. And you know what it takes to make a nisuin, to turn an arusa into a nisua? You live with her together in the same house. You bring her to the reshuso. It wasn't even a problem that they didn't have nisuin. They had nisuin. They just didn't have a ksuba. And he still didn't try to justify it to himself. So the woman sees the greatness of her husband, of her deceased husband. Now, of course, the comparison is a little bit off, because Yosef was battling Yetzer Hara of Eishes Potiphar. Eishes Potiphar was begging to be taken. This woman said, "Al tigabi, don't touch me." So it sort of doesn't compare favorably to Yosef. Yosef's nisayon in that respect seems much, much greater. But that's the way a loving wife looks at her husband. That she loves him so much, she misses the obvious comparison, that she's the hero. But she doesn't see it that way. She's willing to give him the credit. Because that's the way a marriage works when it's working properly. Now, when something great happens, each one tries to credit the other one. Pasach idach v'amar. One of the other Amoraim that was sitting there told a different story from this same village, just to give a picture of the kinds of people that lived in this village that was destroyed. As we pointed out in the past, you know, you tell stories of destruction and people sort of, you know, follow numbers. They like numbers. How many hundreds of people? How many thousands of people? How many? But that doesn't really do it for, it doesn't really elicit emotion. You hear stories of individuals, and we can relate to those individuals, and then think about magnifying those stories many thousands fold, and it means a lot more. So the stories are all about individuals. Now, we're not talking about numbers right now. Individuals to get an idea of the kind of Jews that there were. So the other story was, Ma'aseva amdu arba'im modios bedina, that you could get 40 modios, which is a certain type of measurement, of grain for a dinar. So that's pretty cheap, apparently, and there was plenty of food. Nechsar hashar modia achas, and then grain got more expensive, and now you can only buy 39 modios for a dinar. So what would you say if something happens like that? If you open up the paper, no one opens up paper anymore. You check online, and you see that the headline is that there's been a 2.5% shift in the price of something. What is that, the daily shift in the price of gas? You don't think anything of it. You just let it go. Okay, that's what happens. That's natural. Food gets more expensive sometimes, and then, you know, you live with it. But a spiritually sensitive soul sees everything as a message. Doesn't ignore any of the messages. So Badku, they went hunting. They went searching. What did we do wrong? What happened here that caused this to happen, that caused the price of grain to rise? Umatsu Avuvno Shabo al Naro Murasa Bioma Kippur. And they found a father and a son who had Bia with a Nara Murasa on Yom Kippur. Very, very terrible Aveirah. But it was two people in the whole town. that did this terrible avera. Three people, Nara also. They viyum lebeizdin uskalu. So what did they do? They immediately brought them to justice. And then right away, v'chazer ashar lemakoma. The price of the grain went back to its original price. The symbolism of the number 40 obviously is not lost on us over here. It was 40 for a dinar. And the Ben Yoyada points out that the 40 relates clearly to the 40 days of Matan Torah. That this was a Torah community. This was a community that assumed that everything that happened was a reflection of the Torah. And when it went down to 39, they saw an affliction like a malchus on the community. Like when one gets 39 lashes, perhaps they saw that there was an avera that must have been done that was the equivalent of a chayiv skila, like melacha and Shabbos. And everything was Torah related. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and he created the world. And a person who's spiritually sensitive is able to see Torah in everything that's going on around them. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Taanios, when things go bad, you know, we always chalk it up to statistics. And he says that's a terrible thing to do. Well, statistically, there's going to be this many, Rachmana Litzlan, early deaths from this illness, from that illness, this many, Rachmana Litzlan, children who die of this disease or the other disease. Statistics. So if it happens, you know, it's easy for us to say it's not really a message for us. The Rambam says that's achzarius. It's cruelty. It's cruelty because it's causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do things with statistic anomalies. If within a statistical range we're not getting the message, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep delivering the message in a harsher way. In a way that can't be chalked up to statistics anymore. And the reason why we have to receive such messages is because we weren't sensitive in the first place. So can you imagine the sensitivity of the people of this village? A minor price fluctuation, and immediately it hits them. Immediately they say, okay, something's going on here, we need to do something about this. And if there's an injustice in their midst, they address it immediately. It doesn't drag on and on. So that's the second story from this village. Pasach Idach. The third rabbi said, Va'amar, he says, I know of a different story from the same village. Maisa ba'adam echa. There was a story of a guy, shenasa ne'enav bi'ishto legarsha. He wanted to divorce his wife. Vaisa ksubasa meruba. But her ksuba was extraordinarily expensive. And he couldn't afford it. He couldn't afford divorce. I remember I was driving down Rockaway Turnpike once with Rav Schechter in the car, and there was a big billboard. Divorce for only $200, or something like that. Rav Schechter had tears in his eyes. Look how easy it is for people to get divorced. The whole point of ksuba, the reason why the Rabbanan were misaking ksuba, the Gemara says, is shalote kala be'en of lotzia. That it shouldn't be easy to get divorced. It should be hard. It should be something that a person has to think long and hard about. So this guy, Nebuch, I mean, the marriage wasn't working, but he couldn't afford to get divorced. So also, what did he do? Halach v'zimene shushvinav. He wanted to set up his wife to have appeared to have committed a crime that she didn't really commit. So he got his friends involved. Shushvinim are the people who, were his best men at his wedding. And, you know, he can count on them, his buddies. And what did he do to his buddies? Ve'achilan, ve'hishkan, he gave them food, he gave them to drink. Shikran, he got them good and drunk. Ve'shkivan al mita achas, and he lied them down on a bed when they were in a drunken stupor together with his wife. What a friend. the heavy loven beitza, and he took the white of an egg, which looks a lot like shichva zera, vihitil beinayin, and he put it on the bed in between them and his wife. And he staged this whole scene. The Hemla and Edom. And he made sure that Edom were there that would see this scene of these men lying in bed with this thing that looks like Shechva Zera next to his wife. You know, he must have come in and said, oh my gosh, what happened here? Ubala Bezdin, and he went to Bezdin, and he said he wants to be Megarish, his wife. She was Mezana with his relatives, with his friends. And now he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba. Because the halacha by Ksuba is, if a woman is Mezana, the husband does not have to pay the ksuba. In general, if the woman is blamed for destroying the marriage, then you don't have to pay the ksuba. So hayisham zaken echad mitalmidei shamei azaken ubava ben buta shemo. There happened to have been an older rav who was a talmud of shamei azaken named Bab ben Buta, and he said, "Wait a second, this is too perfect a crime went on over here." He says, I have a mesora from Shammai Azaken that there's a simple scientific test that you could do to tell whether this is Shechva Zera or this is Lovan Beitza. Lovan Beitza solid mina'or. The white of an egg, if you put fire to it, it will dry and crust. V'shechva Zera docha mina'or. But Shechva Zera will become absorbed in the sheets, but it won't crust. Will sort of be pushed away. Batku matzu kidvarav. And they found that it wasn't Shechva Zera, it was Lovan Beitza. Ve vi'uhu lebezdin, vihilkuhu, vigvu ksubasim imenu. And they brought him to Bezdin, and they gave this guy Malkus, and they made him pay the ksuba. Now, Malkus sounds like he got off easy. But the truth is, strictly speaking, la halacha, he's not chayiv Malkus. He didn't commit a los haseh in the Torah, for which one is chayiv malchus. I mean, he committed they say the fifth volume of Shulchan Aruch. You know, he committed like every violation in that volume of Shulchan Aruch. But he wasn't really technically chayiv malchus, but Bezdin has the right to be lokan malchus shalom and adin. But it's really remarkable, no? The three stories, so you expect to hear stories of great tzidkus. So the first story is a story of great tzidkus, this young man, this young woman, how they were able to overcome Yetzer Haras like this. It's a remarkable story of Tzidkus, and something that we can never imagine happening in our generation. In a world that's Shtufei Zima, Kiflayim Kimitzrayim. Where every teen and tween has in their hand the ability to see kol davara in their hand, in their pocket. They can pull out at any time, see kol davara. And parents who are blissfully ignorant, as Kedushas Yisrael takes a tremendous, tremendous hit. Tremendous hit. Mentioned recently, teenagers were asked, Shiva teenagers, when you grow up, are your rules with your kids and cell phones and the internet going to be the same as the rules your parents have? More lenient, more strict? The overwhelming majority said they would be more strict with their children. Kids typically aren't known to be the most mature group in the world. But they recognized. They can't help themselves. Mayasa ben velo yechta. What's he supposed to do? The kedusha of this arus varusasa is remarkable. It's a kedusha that we won't see the likes of that anytime soon. The second story, people were so sensitive to a fluctuation in price that they realized there must have been something going on. Okay, so there's certain tzidkus in that. What's the tzidkus of the third story? What an awful, horrible, horrible people. the story. The guy sets up his wife to be caught with his best friends, and yeah, so they give him malchus and they make him pay the ksuba. I mean, very difficult to understand what the tzidkus is there. Maybe it was that they were willing to investigate. That this one zakein says, you know, we should be sure before we move forward with this case. We could judge people for what we see right in front of us. And it seems like an obvious judgment, but maybe if we investigate, just take 2 minutes to investigate a little bit more. Maybe we'll see something different. And they investigated and they saw something completely different. Maybe there's a certain mussar in that. That how often we rush to judgment. It's so easy to judge other people. And we see something happens and immediately, without any investigation, without any due process, without any tests, without any etzos, without any, just right away, immediate judgment. Just a couple of weeks ago in camp, we went to a different camp for a Kiruv program. And we were talking to these teenagers, high school and college age kids, who completely distant from Torah and mitzvahs. Some of them weren't even Jewish halachically. You know, when asked what Shabbos means to them, one of them said, oh, it's so beautiful. It's the day I spend all day cooking with my mother. I'm thinking, do you thresh and plow and winnow? And I said to a couple of them, you know, when you see a person like me, and you see, you know, like a chassid with the long side locks and the long black coat and the long beard. Like, do you view us the same way? Like, are we the same to you? And like, what are your thoughts? What do you think when you see a group of chassidish men, let's say, walking down the street? So one of them said to me, didn't respond to my first question. It said about the second one, when I see Hasidic people, I know that it was a girl. She said, I know that I if I say hello to them, they're not going to respond. But I think it's so beautiful. It's so nice that they have such purpose in their lives and that they're going to do something that seems so meaningful. I'm not even sure what. And that they're so attached to their traditions. I think it's so beautiful. How many of us think that way? You know, we think the first part. We think all sorts of stereotypes that we've heard or that we have ingrained in our minds. But how many of us think that way? Just think of something positive. Think of something nice. Ezu chachma lo min mikol adam. But it's more than just chachma. It's about being a Jew. Judge other people favorably. Someone was saying to me today that it drives him crazy when he hears people talk negatively about Hasidic communities. Because this fellow was telling me that he has someone in his family who's very ill. And he was meeting with other people who's have family members going through a serious illness. They have like a support group that they got together. Some Hasidim, some modern Orthodox, some, you know, yeshivish, balabatish, I don't know, every stripe and color, I don't know what, you know, what all the labels are. And he said it was so obvious that the Hasidim were so much better off than the rest of them. Because in their community, when someone is going through something like that, whether they ask for it or not, there's food at their door every Shabbos. Whether they ask for it or not, someone comes to relieve them and send them away to a hotel for a Shabbos to give them a break. tell my Talmidim, you know, whenever I hear them making fun of Satmar Chasidim or something, I say, yeah, till you're in the hospital, and then that's who's going to be taking care of you, with their Bikur Cholim. It's kedai to look positively at other people. Maybe that's the third story. Investigate a little bit further. Amle Abai L'Rav Yosef. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, "Umachar d'havu tzadikim kulei hai." Well, the people of this city were such great tzadikim. You know, not all of them. There was the father and the son who slept with an Aram Ras on Yom Kippurim, which is a pretty bad Avera. But that's the only Avera they found. They looked through the whole town, and that's the only Avera they were able to find. So then, my time of Yonush, why was the whole town punished? So you might say, well, that was a pretty bad Avera. So when Averas are that big, you know, even if they're few and far between, maybe the town should be punished. But normally when a whole town gets punished, it's because no one else did anything about those who were violating Averas. They just turned a blind eye to it. But that was the opposite of what was going on here. No one was turning a blind eye. They immediately reacted and dealt with it. So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef said, you know why they were destroyed? Mishum d'lo yabal al Yerushalayim. They didn't mourn over the Churban of Yerushalayim. And that's enough reason to destroy them. T'chsiv simchus Yerushalayim v'gilu ba kolo aveha sisu ata masos kolam es'ablim aleha. Those who are misabel in Yerushalayim will rejoice in Yerushalayim. Those who are not misabel in Yerushalayim will not be zocha to rejoice on Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says. Kol misabel Yerushalayim zocha v'roa v'simchasa. The people who experience avelus of Yerushalayim will see the simcha of Yerushalayim. It's a hard thing to do, to truly be misabel on Yerushalayim. Someone sent me an email this week with an alumnus of Yeshivat Har Etzion, wrote up about his first Tisha B'Av in yeshiva. And he said, during Eicha, everyone's sitting on the floor, you can't really see anybody, and he's thinking to himself, someone was so inappropriate. Someone brought their baby to Eicha, because there was this baby crying, like, uncontrollably. Like, the parent didn't know to bring the kid out during Eicha. Well, who brings a baby to Eicha? And he was, like, bothered by it. And at one point, he stands up to see who it is, to say, excuse me, you know, now's not really the right time to have a baby here. And he looked and he saw it wasn't a baby. It was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He was just crying uncontrollably. Sobbing. It's very hard. One has to have a very sensitive soul. To be Misabel in Yerushalayim. Rav Ephraim Waxman gives the mashal. Not a mashal, he said he was once in a shul, and he said he thinks of this every Tisha B'Av, and I could see why. He said he was once in a shul where there was a young mother passed away, and she left a whole bunch of children, young children, and it was her yard site, a year later, 2 years later, and it was the most heartbreaking thing, all these little boys saying Kaddish for their mother. And he said, the littlest boy, the one who didn't really even have time to know his mother before she got sick. He got, during the Kaddish, he had what they call a case of the giggles. He couldn't stop laughing. And his friends were, you know, someone was trying to show him in a sitter and to, he just couldn't stop laughing. He was giggling the whole time. He said, you know, you think, the mother looking down from Shemayim. It's so heartbreaking to see young children saying Kaddish. Of all those Kaddishim that the children are saying, which is the most heartbreaking Kaddish for the mother to hear? There's no doubt the most heartbreaking Kaddish is the kid that doesn't even know what he lost. He doesn't even realize what it means that he's saying Kaddish for a mother, that he's growing up without a mother. Not infuriating, you can't blame him, but it's heartbreaking. It's pathetic. It's sad. It's very sad to mourn over Yerushalayim, but it's a lot sadder not to. Baruch Shalom looks and says, you don't even realize. Can't even bring ourselves to tears. And that was why the city was destroyed. They couldn't connect. They couldn't mourn over Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us, Asaka Dirisbak Char of Beitar, tells us about the destruction of the city of Beitar because of a story that happened with a chariot, a wall of a chariot. Beitar was destroyed. What was the story? Da'avu Nihigi, they used to have a minag in Beitar, ki ava misyalid yanuka. When a baby boy was born, shasli arza, they would plant a cedar tree. Yanukta, when a baby girl was born, shasli turnisa, they planted a different type of cedar tree. Turnisa is also a cedar tree, but a different type. In the Erez, you know, cedar tree, Ka'arze Halavano, represents tower of strength. And it was supposed to be a remez to how the child is going to grow, tall and strong. Zeh Katan Gadol Yiyeh. You know, what every parent hopes and wishes for their child. This was symbolic of that. And then, what a beautiful minag, v'chiyavu minas minsevi, when they would get married, a young man and a young woman would get married, kaitzi lehu, they would take those trees, they would cut them down, v'avdu ganana, and they'd make the chuppah out of those trees. Beautiful. Yom echad avakochel v'barti de kesar. One day, the daughter of the kesar was passing through the city of Beitar. And Itbar Saka de Rispak, a wall of the chariot broke. So Katsu Arza Vailula, what do the servants do? They find a tree, they chop it down, they get some lumber, and they rebuild it. Can you imagine being that parent? You planted this tree, the kid is, 17, 18 years old. You're waiting. And now some stranger comes and chops down the tree and takes it with them. So Asu Nafal Alayu Mukhunu. The Jewish people attacked. You know, they had some sort of shomrim or something, some group. And they attacked. Now, it seems a little bit of an overreaction. I mean, they took a tree that was symbolic. It wasn't, you know, they weren't even making any gzeros against the Jewish people. So Marsha says, no, they thought that they were symbolically saying, this is our next move, that we're going to be Oker Kol Zecharim. We're going to destroy all the males, just like Paro was Gozer, to drown him. So they thought that this was a threat, and they said, we're not going to take this lying down, we're going to fight. Asu Amr Leila Kesar Mardubach Yudai. So they went and they reported to the Kesar, the Jews are rebelling against you. Asa Alayhu. So the Kesar came and fought with them and destroyed them. And the Gemara tells us, a pasuk that tells us about the Anshei Beitar and how terrible a calamity the destruction of that city was. A pasuk we just read in Eicha, Goda b'chariyaf kol keren Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This refers to a lishmonim elef karnei milchama. This refers to 80,000 leaders of war that would blow trumpets to gather their troops. Shenichnasu l'krach Beitar b'shah shel chadua, that all gathered and all entered into Beitar at the time that they seized it. Vahargubah anashim menashim betaf at shahalach daman v'nafal yam agadol, and they killed men, women, children, till the point that the blood flowed into the yam hagadol. That the symbolism, the Maharal writes, of the blood flowing into Yama Gadol. What happens when blood pours into the ocean? The blood pours into the ocean, so at first you see a little bit of red somewhere, but very quickly, no matter how much blood it was, gets washed away, you don't even see any remnant of it. That these people planted our razim, that each of us is like a cedar tree, each of us is tall and strong, and they were wiped out with no remnant left of them, with the blood just flowing right into Yama Gadol and disappearing. People who focus on making a mark, on having a legacy, ultimately their legacy is forgotten. People who just do the right thing, just do what they're supposed to do, humbly, are much more likely to have a meaningful legacy. You know, the Chavetz Chaim, I always think of the Chavetz Chaim, when you think of someone who just really just didn't want any attention, wasn't interested in any of it, living so simply in a small little place, you know, wasn't interested in traveling, wasn't interested in going around the world to have, and people wanted to hear what he had to say. He wasn't interested in any of it. So what becomes of a person like that? Just not interested in any publicity. His Sfarim are in every single Beis Medrash in the world today. I challenge you, find a Beis Medrash that does not have a Mishnah Berurah. Likely a Chavetz Chaim as well. And the legacy is remarkable. As I mentioned in the past, we should always be very suspicious of people who are too concerned about their own legacy. They're advertising their every action. That's not the darker shel Torah. Shema Tomar Krova Haisa. Lest you think this city was very close to Yama Gadol, and that's why all this blood went into the Yama Gadol. No, Rechoka is a mil. It was a mil away from the Yama Gadol, close to a mile. Alpaya Mama. 2/3 of a mile, let's say. And that's how far the blood flowed. And again, through a lot of the stories of Churban, you see parallels to how the Mikdash was. You know, there's supposed to be blood flowing. And that's, Klal Yisrael in all its glory is with blood flowing, but not the blood of people. The blood of Karbanos, and the Mishnah describes in Maseches Pesachim, how on Erev Pesach, when everyone would come with their Karban Pesach, the blood was flowing in the base of Mikdash and was piling up to the point that Kohanim were walking Adar, Kuvuseim, Bedam, they were walking up until their knees, knee deep in blood. And that was the Maila, and they did it on purpose, they plugged up the drains just so that that could happen. So you could see, look at the Avodah that Klal Yisrael is doing. And when we suffer Churban, we see parallels in an extremely negative way. Astonishing amounts of blood flowing. Tanya, Reb Elazar Gadol Omer, Shnei Nechalim Yesh Bebikas Yadayim. Reb Elazar Gadol says there are two streams in a place called Bikas Yadayim, Echad Moshech Elach, Ve'echad Moshech Elach. One flows one in one direction, the other one goes in another direction. And when the Anshei Beta were killed and their blood was spilling, and their blood went into these nechalim, these streams, v'shiru chachamim shnei chalakim mayim ve'echad dam. The chachamim estimated that these streams were made up of 2/3 water and 1/3 blood. That's how much blood there was. The 2/3, 1/3 is also a mashal to what the Gemara says, that yayin is supposed to be mazug with shnei chalakim mayim. 2/3 water is supposed to dilute the wine. 2/3 water, 1/3 wine. So you can talk about celebration and the source of simcha. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. It also comes in such a ratio of 2/3 and 1/3. You know, we know that we use minhag to use red wine in the Leil HaSeder because the red represents the dam. So it's not a stretch to say that this is what they're alluding to. Again, with the destruction and the scenes of destruction mirroring in a certain way the scenes of binyan and of good times with Yerushalayim b'binyana. Not only that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Sanhedrin was like that. It was two-thirds and one-third. It was like, they would never, very rarely have all 71 members or 70 members, the Machlokas, how many there were, of the Sanhedrin in one place at one time. How you can get them all together, all busy people, I'm sure, all big Talmidei Chachamim, very much in demand. So the Gemara says, obviously, most of the time that they convened, they weren't all there. But you had to have a certain minimum number. So what's the minimum number? Is one-third. Like Mezigas Yayin also makes that comparison. So again, the image, Sanhedrin had to go into Galus when the Churban was close. But the Sanhedrin in its ideal location was Belishchas HaGazis. It was in the Beis HaMikdash. It's part of the Mikdash complex. It's where justice emerges from. B'masnisatan in the Brayso we learn Sheva Shanim Batzru Ovdei Kochav Mes Karmel Midaman Shel Yisrael below Zevel. How much blood was there when Beitar was destroyed? For 7 years the Ovdei Kochavim were able to harvest from their vineyards without having to apply any manure or any growth agent to their vineyards, because the dam of the Jewish people caused the wine, the grapes, to grow so beautifully. For 7 years, it was enough blood to sustain the vineyards for 7 years. Now the Gemara tells us on Zayinim and Beis that many Jews were killed by Nevuzradan in the days of the Churban Mikdash Rishon, and that was a nekama, that for the killing of Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen in the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, when he was mochiach them, when he gave them Musar, that they were mishtachavet to Yoash, and they made him an Avodah Zarah. All of this appears in Sefer Divrei Yamim Beis, the whole story. So the Gemara tells us what happened with the blood of Zechariah. The Jewish people, we say a kina about this tomorrow. That we have leaders, and they try to give us Musar, and they try to lead us in the right direction, and they try to, for our own good, tell us what we're supposed to do, how to behave. Not only do we not listen to them, we don't only ignore them, we mock them, we attack them, we destroy them, we make punching bags out of them. Zechariah was a Navi Hashem. He's telling us what to do for our own good. He's being mochiach us. And we kill Zechariah. We don't want to hear it. Someone saying something we don't like, we shut them out. So the Gemara tells the story. Amar b'chia barav and Amar b'shul ben karcha. Sachli zakein echad me'anshi Yerushalayim. An older gentleman from the people of Yerushalayim once told me, b'vikazu harag Nevuzradan Rav Tabachim, the chief butcher Nevuzradan, who worked for Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, killed in this valley, Masayim v'achas esrei ribo. What's the number? 211 times 10,000. That's 2,110,000 people. One person killed 2 million, or led troops that killed 2,110,000 people. Uvi Yerushalayim arag tishim ba'ar baribo, and in Yerushalayim he killed 940,000 people. Al Evan Achas, all on one stone, all in one area. Tishim Va'arba is Gematria Damim, the blood. B'damim Nagau. Ad Shahalach Daman, until the blood of these people that Nevuzradan killed went, all the way up to the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash, v'naga b'damo shel Zechariah, and it touched the blood of Zechariah ben Yoyada HaKohen, who was killed in the Azara. The blood rose, because it's just more and more and more. There was nowhere for it to all drain. L'kayim ha-shenemar v'damim b'damim naga'u. Blood touched other blood. The two bloods connected with each other. Damim is b'lashon rabim. Where else do we have damim b'lashon rabim? Kayin kills Hevel. Kol demei achicha tzoakim. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Kayin, the bloods of your brother are crying out to me. Why bloods? The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us, damo v'dam zaro. It's multiple bloods because it's not just him, it's his children as well. And you think of just the enormity of such a crime, of so many thousands of people. It's not those thousands of people. It's imagine how much offspring they could have had. It's remarkable how the Jewish people aren't growing anymore. You know, but this fellow that just passed away in England lived to a very ripe old age. He was a young businessman in the times of the Holocaust, and he helped, what was it, I think 400 children get out. Helped 400 children escape. And he never told anybody about it. Forget the guy's name. Someone here probably knows it.
Henry Winton,
650. Yeah, and he never told anyone about it, and I think sometime in the 80s maybe, in the 1980s, someone discovered that this regular guy had saved hundreds of kids. And one of the television programs got a hold of the story and decided to track down all of those children and to see where they all are, how many of them, and got them all in one room together and didn't tell him. And he was invited to this place, and he's sitting in the room, and he said, they tell him at some point in this video of this, look around, look behind you, and he sees a room with thousands of people. He says, these are the descendants of all the people that you saved. I think the number was over 14,000 people. So you think of the dam of a single person, the dam of how many thousands of people that is. My chavrusa just told me in camp, Rabbi Rosner, that his father got a phone call. Dr. Fred Rosner got a phone call, I think it was 10 years ago or so, or an email from some woman in somewhere in Europe. Dr. Fred Rosner, are you the same Freddie Rosner who was in an orphanage in England during the Holocaust? And he said, yes. And she said, well, I raised you. A non-Jewish woman. What was the story? Dr. Rosner and his older brother were on the last train out, or one of the last trains out. His parents had to decide in Germany what to do with their kids. And they decided to save the kids and send them away. Little Freddie Rosner was 3 years old. His brother was 8. And they told his brother, you take care of your little brother. You never, ever separate from him. And he sent him on a train. That was the last time he saw his parents. And he went to England. And they were put in an orphanage. And the orphanage wasn't for three-year-olds. They didn't have, you know, they weren't equipped to be dealing with three-year-olds. It was all Jewish kids, but there was nothing Jewish about the experience in the orphanage. And they didn't know what to do with the kid. So, you know, they had the other boys doing activities and work and all sorts of different things and school and whatever. And this little boy, they had nothing to do with him. So they found some teenage girl, a 16-year-old girl, and they asked her to take care of him. And she took care of him. And, you know, many times people would come to the orphanage and they'd see this cute little boy. And they would say, oh, we want to adopt that cute little boy. And the people in charge of the orphanage said, you can, but you have to take that other boy with him. Because he won't separate from him. His brother was told, never let him out of your sight. This woman had no idea what happened to him after the war. And here she raised this little boy, one little boy. I don't know the numbers of how many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren Dr. Rosner has, or how many people have read his Torah articles and his medical ethics journals, or how many thousands of people listen to his son's shiurim. And but it's never just one person. Think you're affecting just one person, it's Dori Doros. It's Damim, it's plural. So as impressively sad as these numbers may sound, 94,000, 2 million, it's much, much more than that. It's Damim b'damim nagau. So the blood goes and it touches the Dam of Zechariah in the Azara. Ashkechei l'damei de Zechariah. So Nuvuzradan follows the trail of blood and he finds the blood of Zechariah. Davaka mirtach v'salik. It was boiling over. It was boiling up. Not normal. It should have been batel. No? You have so much dam. It should be batel be'elef, alpayim, thousands, millions. But no, somehow this dam was just boiling and boiling and boiling, and it wouldn't be quieted from all the blood. Amar Sunuvizradan asked the Jews, "My high, what's going on over here with this boiling blood?" Some relay they lied. It's embarrassing. What are you going to say? We killed our own leader? We killed someone who's trying to tell us to be better? So they said, "Dam zvachim di ishtapuch." This is blood of a carbon that was spilled. Because we didn't do the mitzvah of Zrik al Mizbeach. And that's why it's boiling, because we didn't do the proper mitzvah of Zrika. That's how the Marshal explains. Because otherwise, you know, what's the explanation? He's saying, why is it boiling? And they say, oh, it's an animal blood. That doesn't explain anything. No, we didn't do the mitzvah of Zrika because we missed out on the karbanos from a yidin. So our avodas Hashem wasn't proper. Meanwhile, they killed their own leader. I see Demei. So he said, really? He brought blood of behemos, v'lo idmu, and he matched them up to see if it matched, if it looked like this blood, and it didn't. It wasn't the same. Now, a little difficult to understand, and Mefarshim will point out that Chazal tell us in Bereishis Rabba, that blood of a goat looks exactly like blood of a person. So that's why by Yosef, they dipped the ketonis in the ketonis pasim in blood of a goat. The trick Yaakov. So why over here is it not matching up? So a number of tirutzim. Whatever the teretz is. But Nevuzradan was not going to be fooled. So Amr Lahu, Yam Risuli, if you tell me whose blood this was, Muta, then it's fine. Everything will be good. The love, if you don't tell me the truth, I'm going to comb your skin off with the iron combs. So maybe someone should tell me the truth. Amrilei, my name Allah. They said, what can we tell you? We have no choice. Neviya Havaban. There was a Navi amongst us. Davaka Mochachlan Bemili de Shemaya, who is telling us, reproving us, giving us Musar in Mili de Shemaya, in matters of Shemaya. We didn't like it and we got up and we killed him. And it's already been many years since he's been killed and his blood does not rest. The Medrash and Kol Rabbah says 252 years. And the blood is not resting. Amr Lahu Anam Fayasnale. He says, okay. I'll calm the blood. I'll be mefayes the blood of Zechariah. I say, Sanhedre Gedola, v'Sanhedre Ketana. He gathers the Chachamim of the Sanhedre Gedola and the Chachamim of the Sanhedre Ketana, Kotali Lavei, and he kills them on the blood of Zechariah. V'lo nach, and the blood still doesn't rest. Bachurim uvesulos, Kotali Lavei, v'lo nach. He kills young boys, young girls, and the blood doesn't rest. I say, Tinoko Shalbeis Rabban, children, school children, Katali Lavein, he kills them over this blood, Velonach, and the blood doesn't rest. Amar Lei, so Nevuzradan turns to the blood of Zechariah and he says, Zechariah, Zechariah, Tovim Shebaheni Badatim, I've destroyed the very best amongst them. Nichalach Tabdinu Lekulu? What, would you prefer that I destroy all of them? What are you waiting for? How much more do you want? Kedam Lei Hachinach. When he said that, the blood finally rested. Striking. What was his deal with the Jewish people? Tell me the truth. And then, what did he say? Mutav. It will all be good if you tell me the truth. I promise. Everything's going to be fine. You can trust me. If you don't tell me the truth, you know, then I'm going to torture you. The enemies of the Jewish people can't be trusted. They don't really have bechira chavshus when it comes to hurting Jewish people. We'll sign on to whatever agreement. We'll behave. We'll do the right thing. We have to recognize it's all Sheker V'Chazav. Kal V'Chomer, if they're not saying, we're going to do the right thing. How many thousands more people were killed in this crazy attempt to appease the blood of Zechariah? Be'i Shaita, at that time, Nevuzradan saw what happened with the blood of Zechariah, Kohen, Hira Tshuva B'dayte. And he immediately had a hear her tshuva. Strange, no? Didn't have a hear her tshuva till that point. But he sees all of this blood, and the blood not resting. And all of a sudden he has a hear her tshuva. Amar, Uma imal nefesh achas kach. And he says, if for one nefesh that they had killed, they're punished so severely that I was allowed to do all of this. Hahu gavra dekotel kolhani nishmasa alachas kama v'kama. I, who just killed so many people, all the more so, I'm going to be punished quite severely. Now, you could argue that it's a faulty kal v'chomer. Zechariah was innocent. All these people were killed because of the terrible sin of destroying Zechariah's, of killing Zechariah. But if a person has a hear of tshuva, it doesn't always have to make sense. You know, you hear about tshuva stories, a lot of them don't make sense. You don't want to tell them, you know. Like, what made you do tshuva? Well, this happened. Okay, that's what did it for you. A person gets a spark sometimes, just an inspiration. Even a person like this. Arak Azal Shadashtar Pitrasa Bevese. Unbelievable. On the spot, Nevuzradan goes and he gives instructions to his house what to do with his property, V'igayer. And he converts to Judaism. It's crazy. Would you let your kid marry his kid? There were tshuvas after the Holocaust. But they didn't have to deal with this. There were children of Nazis that wanted to convert. And they were sincere. They wanted to convert. Their grandparents and parents murdered thousands of Jews. It's a medrash that you're not allowed to convert someone from Amalek. It's a very difficult thing emotionally to allow someone like that to join the Jewish people. But look at this. He converts. Someone allowed him to convert. Joined Klal Yisrael. Tana Naaman Ger Toshav Haya. The Brisa teaches us that Naaman, the Sar Tzva of Ammon, was mekabel on himself not to do Avodah Zarah. That's in the Navi, Melachim Beis. Um, at least not to do Avodah Zarah. It's a question whether he was mekabel all Sheva Mitzvos. Nevuzradon, this fellow we've been talking about, Ger Tzedek Haya, he wasn't just a Ger Toshav, he became a Ger Tzedek, became a Jew. And by the way, Mi b'nei banav shel Haman limdu Torah b'vnei brak. The Enoch of Haman taught Torah and learned Torah in b'nei brak. In the Yaakov in Sanhedrin quotes another girsa, Umanu Rashmol Barshilas. It actually identifies who the Bnei Banav Shel Haman are. Aye, the Medrash says we're not Mekabel Gerim Me'amalek. Okay, Yachronim will deal with it. The simple answer is this Gemara disagrees with that Medrash. Now you're allowed to be Mekabel Gerim from Amalek. The Bnei Banav Shel Sisra taught Tinokos in Yerushalayim. They were school teachers of young children. There's one medrash that says, Uman Inun Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva descended from Sisra. Some of our greatest people, our greatest tzaddikim, our greatest minds, our greatest chachamim, and they emerged from real lowlifes. They came, you know, because that's the thing. Torah doesn't discriminate. As we mentioned today in the Daf Yomi, that that kahuna is not liolam, it's not forever, because a person can be mechalel as children. Kohen could be Mechalel's children. But Torah? Anybody, anytime. Doesn't matter who your father is. Doesn't matter. A person could be a Mamzer. Mamzer Talmud Chacham is called the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. So these people, in spite of where they came from, managed to become great. The grandchildren of Sancheiriv taught Torah. Publicly, man inun shmayav avtalion, not stam. Shmayin avtalion. The Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Yad HaChazaka that shmayin avtalion were gerim themselves, that they themselves were gerim. It doesn't sound like that from here. No. Sounds that at some point along the line, but maybe they themselves they converted. That's why Mishnah Nidio says that Chayiv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo Malay Hin. That's about a hin, a measurement. But Shmayin Avtalion couldn't pronounce the word hin because they were gerim, so they didn't have a hey in their lexicon. So they said in, and no one understood what they were talking about. So they had to compensate by saying an extra word Malay Hin. So when the Talmidim would say over the halachas that they would say Malay Hin. Because Chayiv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabba. Some say that the Talmidim would even imitate their accents. Because Chayiv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabba. That's going a little far. To assume that the Talmud, you know, everyone teaching Torah today would be in America, would be imitating a European accent from the Rebbe. It would be a little much. But anyway, Shmayin Avtayim, they were Gerim, converted, and they descend from Sancheiriv, and they teach Torah. It might not be even though they came from such people. Very often it's the motivating factor. It's what makes a person, what drives a person to want to be better, to want to compensate for the evils of his forefathers. Anyway, the Gemara concludes this drasha about the blood of Zechariah. Hainu d'chsiv, that's what the pasuk says in Yecheskel. Nasat yestema al tzichiach sela. The vilti he kasos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded about the blood of Zechariah that it should remain on the ground and not be absorbed in the ground in order to cause anger, to remember the nekama. Now the Gemara says that the only people that are able to do these kinds of atrocities to Klal Yisrael are kings and leaders. Now the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Eicha that we just read in the very beginning of Eicha, actually, Gemara says earlier in Gittin, that anyone who bothers Klal Yisrael, anyone who causes suffering to Klal Yisrael, Kol Ameitzar LiYisrael, the Gemara says on the bottom of Nun Vav and Beis, Na'ase LeRosh, becomes a chash of a person. He becomes widely respected. Meaning, if a person is worried about his popularity, the easy way to become more popular amongst the people of the world is to be a bigger anti-Semite and to have an agenda to hurt Klal Yisrael. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that way? So Ben Yoyada explains, sorry, not the Ben Yoyada, the Yalkut HaGershuni explains that the anti-Semites want to destroy Klal Yisrael entirely. But Lev Malachim Biad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give Bechira Chavshis, complete Bechira Chavshis to a Melech. Melech is limited in his Bechira. So he explains, the greatest anti-Semites have to become leaders, respected world leaders, because if they don't become respected world leaders, then they'll have Bechira Chavshis to do as they please to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to limit the magnitude of their impact. So he has to take away their Bechira Chavshis, but he doesn't take away Bechira Chavshis from anybody except for Lev Malachim. I remember when I was in Rav Shechter Shir, I don't remember who was elected president, but I guess it was Bush? No, Clinton the second term maybe. Whatever it was, or Bush, whichever one it was. I think it was George Bush. He said, yesterday, George Bush had Bechira Chavshis. Today, he no longer has Bechira Chavshis. I remember, I was so struck by that. Today, he no longer has Lev Malach B'yad Hashem. He no longer gets to choose. He no longer gets to make his own decisions. Kodesh Baruch Hu's making the decisions. It's an important thing to remember. And we see the power of people who are not interested in what's best of Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. A little bit of bitachon there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to control decisions to some extent. The Gemara quotes another pasuk relating to the Aruge Beitar. Hakol kol Yaakov, famous pasuk, Hakol kol Yaakov vayadayim yidei Esav. Yitzchak says in Nevuah that the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the hands are the hands of Esav. Hakol ze Adrianus Kesar shaharag b'Alexandria shal Mitzrayim shishim ribo al shishim ribo. This is Adrianus Kesar, and all these numbers are just like astonishing numbers. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with them. Shishim ribo times shishim ribo, or plus shishim ribo, let's say. 1,200,000 people, kiflayim ki yotze Mitzrayim, yeah, time, plus, not times. Twice the amount of Yotze Mitzrayim. Kol Yaakov, and what's the Kol Yaakov? Ze aspasainus kesar sharag bekrach beitar arba meos ribo, killed 4 million of the Bnei Yaakov, va'amri la arba asalafim ribo, some say 40 million, va'adayim de'es of zu malchus harasha, she'achrivas batenu v'sarfas echalenu v'glisanu me'artzenu. The Kol Yaakov that the Gemara is talking about over here is not the Kol Yaakov that we often like to think of. Yeah, we think of the Kol Yaakov as the Kol of Torah. Over here it's describing the screaming Kol of Yaakov. The crying, the screaming. As we see death and destruction. Dover Acher, another interpretation, a Kol Yaakov she'en lecha tefila Shemoelas she'en ba mizaro shal Yaakov. There is no tefillah that is accepted up in Shemayim where there isn't mixed in that tefillah, the offspring of Yaakov. The Gemara had said on Zayin Amud Aleph, the tefillah of Kesar was accepted. Difficult to understand. But every tefillah that's accepted up in Shemayim has some Jewish involvement in the tefillah. It's a big nebuch. There are a lot of Jews that are davening for the wrong things. A lot of Jews that aren't zocha to see things in a clear way. You know, we don't always know what to daven for, obviously. But sometimes, you know, the tefillos of our enemies are helped by Jews who are davening along with them. And our enemies' tefillos wouldn't be listened to without it. Vayadayim b'deyesav ein lucha melchama shenotzachas she'ein ba mizaro shel Esav. No melchama is successful without the offspring of Esav. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion of Lashon Hara, which we didn't even do this year, but it spoke about Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, and the Lashon Hara of Bar Kamtza caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Vahaynu Dam Rav Lazar, B'Shot Lashon Techavei, B'Chirchurei Lashon Techavei. At a time where people speak badly about each other, so we better hide because we're going to be destroyed. That's what, you know, the Gemara says over there, the Maisa with Kamta and Bar Kamta. What was the mum in the karban that was sent that they didn't know whether to accept? So it was 2 days in the Gemara. It was either Dokin Shaba'ayin or Nivs Vasayim. And there's symbolism in that. Either it's Ayin Ra'a, that people look at each other with, how we always look at each other in a negative way, or Nivs Vasayim, the way we speak about other people. The way we speak about other people, we need to be very careful. Shmiras HaLashon. So, cause of the Churban, Lashon Hara. Sometimes we think that people are fair game. If they're a public figure, they're fair game. I went to my house today. Children had friends over. Someone mentioned a Rebbe's name. One of the other children said, "Oh, that Rebbe is terrible." And one of the children said, "No, he's good. He's nice." And the other child said, "No, he's not. No, he even did this. Ah, that's not nice. You have no idea." And like that becomes acceptable talk. That everyone's up for judgment. This one's good, this one's bad, this one's... I felt bad. Kid wasn't my kid, but I shut him up. So, you know, there may be some people in this house who are rebbeim who may be very sensitive to talk like that. And who may be good friends with that Rebbe also, by the way. Well, my stomach will come back. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. My dechsev al naros bavel sham yeshavnu gam bechinu bezacharnu es tzion. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Tehillim? This, you know, al naros bavel. We're supposed to say it before we bench every day, except for Shabbos and Yantif. It's the charming story my talmidim told me. Learned in Netiv Aryeh that they asked Rav Nevinsel, why is it that nobody says al naros bavel before they bench? And Rav Nevinsel's response: no one says Al Naros Bavel? You couldn't believe it. What are you talking about? So what does the pasuk mean? Melamed Sharo HaKadosh Baruch Hu David. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed David b'nevuah churban bayis rishon v'churban bayis sheni. He showed him the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. So we assume it's the author is David. Whenever it's a stam chapter in Tehillim without an inscribed author, we assume it's David. Churban bayis rishon shenemar al naros bavel sham yashavnu gam bechinu. Churban bayis rishon, pasuk says al naros bavel, and the rivers of Bavel, we sat and we cried. David saw in Ruach Hakodesh Nebuchadnezzar is going to send the Jewish people into Golus Bavel when he destroys the Beis Hamikdash, and we're going to lament the churban. By his sheni dechsev zechar Hashem levnei Edom es yom Yerushalayim ha'omrim aru aru ade yisod ba. He sees how Titus, who comes from Edom, is going to destroy Yerushalayim, and he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember that Edom destroyed Yerushalayim and pay Edom back in kind. You know, Churban Bayis Sheni was not unrelated to Churban Bayis Rishon. It was the Hemshech. It's the same chapter of Tehillim for a reason. It's the Hemshech of Churban Bayis Rishon. We never fully recovered from Churban Bayis Rishon. Gadol HaBayis HaRishon Min Hashem, the first bayis was much greater. The miracles that happened every day. The Aliyah back up to Eretz Yisrael after Golos Bavel was incomplete, was not a Geula Shlema. We did not have political autonomy. So Churban Bayis Sheni is Ha'omrim Aru Aru Ad HaYesod Ba. Because Edom was Mamshech, the Yesod of the Churban Bayis Rishon that Bavel had done. They continued the job. And it's not just Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni that one is a Hemshech of the other. But we have to recognize that every Tzara that Klal Yisrael goes through is a Hemshech of previous tzaras. That's part of the discussion. How do we properly commemorate the Holocaust? And it's a difficult, complex discussion. How do you educate about the Holocaust? At what age? How do you do it properly? What are the messages? But when they wanted to establish a Yom HaShoah, one of the reasons a lot of the Rabbanim were against it because they thought that to take a day, this is why Rav Soloveitchik was against it, Rav Moshe was against it, that they thought to take a day and say this is the day to remember the Holocaust and separate it from all other Jewish tragedies is to not appreciate the magnitude of the Holocaust. Because it looks like, it makes it look like the Holocaust was, it was an event. Once it happened. A blip on the screen of Jewish history. Very bad, ugly blip, but a blip on the screen of Jewish history. And that's to disrespect the process of Jewish history. Because it all emanated from the Churbanos. And it's a pattern, and it repeats itself, and it happened in the 20th century in a more horrific way than we could ever imagine. But you learn these Churban Agaditas, and you see so many of these stories are repeated in the Holocaust. It's a clear pattern and a repetition in Jewish history. Obviously, you know, on the other side, the idea of having a day during the school year where kids could be properly educated certainly makes a lot of sense. Or having a curriculum or something. We can't forget. But it should be taught in the context of this is what our enemies try to do and have always tried to do. Some more successfully than others. Same chapter in Tehillim. David HaMelech talks about Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel v'yitema Rabbi Ami va'amri lab masnisa tana about further destruction. Maisa ba'arba meos, and here's one of those stories that repeated itself in the Holocaust. Maisa ba'arba meos yiladim v'yiladol shenishbu l'kalon. There were 400 young boys and young girls that were brought to do disgusting things. The boys, the girls were being taken as pilagshim, the boys were being taken from Mishkav Zachar. Hirgishu ba'atzman l'mahin misbakshim, they realized somewhere along the way what they were needed for, what they were wanted for. Amru, im anu tovin bayam, anu ba'in l'chaya olam abba. They asked the shayla, if we jump overboard into the ocean, are we going to be zochet olam abba? Marsha says they were worried about Gilgul Mechilos. That the halach is, the assumption is the Gemara has, that a person is buried, he'll go through the ground all the way to Eretz Yisrael and have Tchias HaMesim there. So they didn't want to forego that by the Yam, by death at sea. The possibility of Tchias HaMesim. They also didn't want to commit suicide because they didn't want to be punished for Mavid Atzma L'das. They asked the Shaila, but who do children ask a Shaila to when it's only children? So they ask the oldest child. So if the oldest child's a 14-year-old, so then the shaila goes to a 14-year-old. It's also symbolic. Hanebuch, Klal Yisrael, sometimes, you know, every time another Gadol B'Yisrael is nifter, the Churban is Kechurban Beis Elokeinu. Because the Shailas now no longer go to the likes of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Ephraim Waxman mentioned one of his shmuzin. He said, if you have trouble believing in the concept of Yiridas Hadairis, go into a Beis Medrash, pull a Rabbi Kiva Eiger off the shelf and try to read it. Sit and break your head on Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Then you'll see Yiridas Hadairis. So Darsh Lena Gadol Shebehen, the greatest one amongst them, responded to them. And he said, Shteit and Pasuk, Amar Hashem, mi bashan ashiv, ashiv mi metzulas yam. Mi bashan ashiv means, mi bein shinei aryeh. Those who are swallowed by a lion, al kiddush Hashem, are also going to be returned to Olam Abba. Mi bashan is a nutrikun, mi bein shein, between the teeth. Ashiv mi metzulas yam, elu shetovim bayam. It's a reference to those who drown in the sea. Kivan shashamu yulodus kach. When the girls heard this, the girls, kavtsu kulan v'naflu l'toch hayam, they all jump into the ocean. Tais says the kasha, ma'abir atzmo l'das. How are they allowed to do it? Al kiddush Hashem. They're allowed to be ma'abir atzmo l'das. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, at the time of the Akedah of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion al kiddush Hashem, they surrounded him with zmoros, with vines, with branches, and they lit it on fire, and they put these wet wool things on his heart so that he wouldn't die quickly. His Talmidim said, open your mouth, let the fire go inside of you, it will make you die more quickly. He said, Mutav shiyitlena misha nasnaval yechbal huvatzmo. I'd rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu take my life rather than I take my own life. So Taisa says, don't you see from there, you're not allowed to be Ma'abir Atzmo L'das. So Taisa says, when people are suffering terrible Yisurim, you're allowed to. So the Gemara Ksuva says, you know, they, Chanani, Mishael, Vazai, are thrown into the Kivshan Eish. And that they were willing to withstand, but had they been threatened with physical punishment, with torture, that they would not have been able to withstand. That's worse. The other possibility, of course, and the more likely possibility, is that their captors wanted to do terrible things to them. Not to kill them, to do terrible things to them. Their only option was to jump into the sea. And who were the ones that thought of it first? The girls. They had this tremendous connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these young ladies. Nosu yuladim kal v'chomer b'yatzman v'yamru. So the boys said a kal v'chomer. Mahalalusha dark on the kach. Kach. If girls whose what they were being taken for was a normal, relatively normal type of relationship, to be a pilegesh, man woman relationship, and still they're willing to jump. Anu shein darkenu kach. We're being taken from Mishkav Zachar. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, we should jump al kiddush Hashem. Afim kavtsu l'sochayam, so they jumped. V'aleim ha-kazvo omer ki alecha oragnu kol hayom nechshavnu katzon tivcha. Children nowadays would never make that kal v'chomer. There's no such thing as normal and abnormal anymore. Whatever a person feels is normal. Rav Yehuda omer zu isha v'shiva baneha. Rav Yehuda says that the pasuk refers to a woman and her seven sons. Asiu l'kama l'kami de kesar. So what was the story that happened over here? They brought the first son to the Kesar. Amrulei plach lavodas kochavim. And he said, I want you to bow to this idol. Amrulehu. He said, Kosav batorah, you know, it says in the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There's a one and only God, and there's no way I'm going to bow to an idol. Afku v'katlu, so they brought him out and they killed him. Vasyu li'idach, they bring the second son, l'kamei de Kesar, in front of Kesar. Amru lei, p'lach l'avodas chavim, bow to the avodah zarah. Amru lehu, kosu b'torah lo yielucha elohim acherim al panai. Says in the Torah, can't have another God. Afku v'katlu, they brought him out and they killed him. Vasyu li'idach, they bring the third child in. Amrulei plach l'avodas chavim, bow to the avodah zarah. Amrulehu kosu b'torah zevach l'elukim yecharam l'elohim yecharam bilti l'Hashem levado. Can only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afku v'kathu, they killed him. Asyu li'idach amrulei plach l'avodas chavim. Amrulehu kosu b'torah lo sishtachav el acher. Can't bow to another God. Afku v'kathu, they killed him. Asyu li'idach, they bring the fifth son. Amrulei plach l'avodas kochavim. Amrulehu kosu b'torah shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It says in the Torah, shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Afku katlu, they killed him as well. It's remarkable. Each child knew the psukim. It's on the tip of their tongues. They were able to point to different psukim. So the Torah talks to everybody in different ways. Each one was inspired by a different pasuk. Each one has their os in Torah that educated them about how to behave in this horrendous situation. Asyu li'idach, they brought the sixth child. Amrulei plach l'avodas chavim, bow to the avodah zarah. Amrulehu, he said, I will not do it. Kosu b'torah v'yadat hayom ha'shevos alavecha. Ki Hashem hu elokim b'shamayim imal v'alaretz mitachas ein od. Afku katlu, they killed him too. Asyu li'idach, they bring the seventh son. Amrulei plach l'avodas chavim, bow to the avodah zarah. Amrulehu, he says, I won't. Kosu b'torah es Hashem ha'amarta. You have designated, singled out HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow His ways, His mitzvahs, listen to His voice. V'Hashem hemircha hayom, and Hashem has chosen us to be His Am Segula, and to have the zechus of keeping His mitzvahs. Reminiscent of how the Gemara in Brachos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin also, and our tefillin says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin says, Mi kamcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. There's reciprocity in our relationship. Kvar nishbanu l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'enonu ma'avirin oso be'el acher. We have sworn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will not trade him for another God. Va'af hu nishbalanu she'en ma'avir osanu bu'uma acheres. And he swore to us, he won't trade us for another nation. Already preempting the taina of the Kesar, that what do you mean you swore to him? This pikuach nefesh, you could forget about the Shavuah. No, we've already gotten Hanah from the Shavuah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept us in times where we haven't behaved. Omer le Kesar, so the Kesar says, you know what? Don't actually bow to the Avodah Zarah. Just do it for show. Ishti lach gushpanka, I'll throw you my signet ring. Ugichin v'shakle, just bend down and pick it up, and it will look like you're bowing to the Avodah Zarah. Kiechadu leimru kabel le harmana demalka. So people will say that you accepted my request, that you've accepted my authority. He was already giving up, you know. These boys were willing to go to their deaths for their principles. And here, a few Jewish children, and he's already, the principle of the matter doesn't matter so much to him anymore. Armalei, chaval alach kesar. The seventh child says, chaval alach kesar, which some understand is a lashon klala, or how pathetic you are, kesar, or how you're going to pay the price. B'zchus HaTorah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, whenever it's repeated usually for emphasis, or to show that it's Karov Lavo, you're going to suffer. Al Kavod Atzmecha Kach, you're so worried about your own honor. Al Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alachas Kama V'Kama. Don't you realize I have to worry more about the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Afku L'miktalei, they brought this child out to be killed. Amrulu Ime, the mother finally said, Yahuvu Ne'alive Nashke Porta, let me at least kiss my child goodbye. Amrulo, when she got close to him, she was able to whisper in his ear, Banai, my beautiful child, L'chu V'imru L'Avram Avichem. We read this in the Kinos tomorrow also. Go tell Avram Avinu, Ato Agadta Mizbeach Echad. You brought one child up on a Mizbeach. V'ani Agadati Shiva Mizbechos. I brought seven children up on a Mizbeach. Afi also Lagag V'naflu Amesa. She went up to a roof and plunged to her death. Yatza Baskel va'amra, the Baskel came out and said, Eim habanim smecha. Eim habanim smecha. How does one see simcha in that? Where does one find simcha? Seven children died in front of her eyes. Not Eim HaBanim was proud. Eim HaBanim was strong. Eim HaBanim Simecha. Last year, last summer, someone told me that he was together with Mori Virabi of Shechter at a Shiva call. One of the soldiers who lost his life in the operation last summer, where they were finding all the tunnels, etc. And those who know Rav Shechter, he's a very emotional person. He cries a lot. But, you know, it's something like this. He was out of control. He just couldn't stop. He was just sat there and just was crying and crying and crying. And the mother of this 20-year-old kid, a mother who's sitting Shiva for a 20-year-old son, says, Harav, don't cry. We believe that our son did a great thing. He gave his life for the Jewish people, protecting Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to us because he understands that we know how valuable this is and how proud we are of him and what a pleasure, a privilege, and a joy it was to be his parents. So don't cry. I don't know where a mother gets that kind of koach. Not just I'm not going to cry, you shouldn't cry. Eim habanim simecha. The proudest thing for Yiddish mama. That her children lived for something, her children died for something, her children stood for something. On this pasuk Yalecha Ragnu Kalayom, the Gemara Darshan's further, Rabbi Shur ben Levi Amar, Zu Mila Shenitna Bishmini, that this is the mitzvah of Mila that was given on the eighth day, when a child could die. Rabbi Shur ben Lakish Amar, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shemarin Hilcho Shchita Biatzman, Alecha Ragnu Kalayom is a reference to Talmidei Chachamim that show the halachas of Shchita, they demonstrate on themselves this is where you hold the knife, right across this part of the neck. Damarava kol mili lech zayinish benafshei. Person could demonstrate a lot on his own body, bar mishchita. Not a good idea to take a shchita knife to your own neck. V'davar acher. And also tzaras and negayim. Shouldn't try to show that on yourself either. Not good luck. Another drasha, alecha aragnu kol yom rav nachron, b'yitzchak amr, elu talmid hacham shem misen atzman al divrei Torah. K'der rav shum ben lakish, dom rav shum ben lakish, ein divrei Torah, miskaimin el b'misha meimis atzmo aleyen. Shnemar, zos ha-Torah adam kiyamus ba'oel. It's a reference to talmid hacham who kill themselves over Torah, who are moser nefesh for Torah. It's very important that people should appreciate that there's a mesiras nefesh involved in learning Torah. A lot of times people think they're ready to dedicate their lives to Torah, and they have no understanding what it means to be moser nefesh for Torah. People think that there's a sense of entitlement. Okay, if I'm going to dedicate my life to Torah, that means it's so-and-so's responsibility to support me and make sure that I get to live in the lap of luxury the way I grew accustomed to. I just read somewhere, Chazon Ish didn't have a mezuzah in his kitchen because it wasn't Dalet or Dalet Amos. Such a famous rabbi, no one was willing to buy him a kitchen. It's Dalet or Dalet Amos. First of all, no. There was a Mesiras Nefesh. You know, whatever you think of the story, some of the stories in the Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography, I mean, you read about. She didn't have an oven. It's a mesiras nefesh. A person has to be meimis atzmo al Torah. Continuing the Churban of Beitar, Amar Rabba Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arba'im Sa'a Kitzutzei Tfilin Nimtzu Barashay Arugei Beitar. They found 40 sa'a of batim of tefillin on the heads of the aruge beitar. Rabbi Yani, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Shalosh Kupos, 3 boxes of batim of tefillin. Shall arba'im arba'im sa'a. Each of them arba'im sa'a. Masnisa Tana arba'im kupos. Shall Shalosh Losin. 40 boxes. Each one was 3 sa'a. Velo pligi, and the Bryson and Rabbi Yani aren't really arguing with each other. Ha deresha ha dara. One is talking about tefillin shel rosh, and the other tefillin shel yad. Tefillin shel yad is smaller than tefillin shel rosh, is the assumption, and therefore is a smaller volume of the tefillin shel yad. A lot of differences between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh symbolically as well. The tefillin shel rosh is what the world can see. Tefillin shel yad has to be covered. It's more private between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, the Gemara says V'ro Kalami Aretz, and everyone's going to see V'yaru Mimeko, the nations of the world are going to see our tefillin and they're going to fear us. Elu tefillin shebarosh, that's the tefillin shebarosh, that they appreciate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha over us in an open and clear way that everyone can see, that the Goyim can understand. What they don't understand is why we're still so dedicated and loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Galus. They don't understand the tefillin shel yad. They just don't, they can't shtel tzudu, it doesn't connect in any way. But we understand the tefillin shel yad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Galus. We see little hints throughout our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We see little nisim, little miracles. Tefillos here and there that don't seem like they stand a chance, and they're answered in the positive. And we appreciate it. We get these little reminders in emails right before Shabbos that tell us of the expected full recovery of a baby that we davened for. And it didn't always look so good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea tefillah. And we can appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Galus also. Amar Rabbi Asi, Arba'a Kav in Moach Nimtzu Alev Nachas. There are four Kav of brain matter found on one stone. Ula Amar Tishos Kavin. Nine Kav. Amar Avkanavite Meshila Bar Mari Maikra. Where is the pasuk that tells us about this? That they would smash our heads on the stones. Bas Bavel Ashadura Ashrei Sheyeshalim Lach. David HaMelech is Mekalel B'nei Bavel. That they should have done to them the same evil things that they did to the Jewish people during the times of the Churban. Ashrei sheyochas v'nipetz etzololayich ala sela. And he gets specific, smashing their heads against the rock. The Gemara darshan's a pasuk about the return of the Bnei Tzion before the Churban. I'm sorry, not the return, the praise of the Bnei Tzion before the Churban. Bnei Tzion ha'yikarim ha'masulayim ba'poz. They're praised as paz, like as precious gem. My misulon ba'paz. Why does it say that they're praised ba'paz? Sounds like not mi paz, not greater than this gem. Ilema dahavu mechapi b'pisa. If it's that they wore beautiful jewelry, v'armi dver abishila tarti mitkli yitztiri pisa nochus bi'alma. There are two measures of this type of precious material in the world. Chada baromi v'chada b'kulei alma, and half of it is in Rome, and the other half is in the whole rest, scattered throughout the whole rest of the world. So Rome has a greater quantity of paz than the whole rest of the world. And Mela, you can't say that the pasuk is saying that the Bnei Tzion were so special because they had this special kind of jewelry. The Romans had much more. Ella shayu meganin es paz biyofya. But rather, they were mevaze the paz with their beauty. They were so beautiful, they made this precious gem look like nothing. What does that mean? So the Gemara tells stories about the beauty of Bnei Yisrael. Meikara, before the Churban, Chashiva de Romayi, the Chashiva people of Rome, when they wanted their children to be beautiful, what would they do? Have a nakti bilyona digushpanka. They would take these beautiful gems, and they would put it on the bed, because they believed that whatever you saw at the Shazivug would influence what the kid would look like. Mikan ve'elach, after the Churban, when they had captured all these Bnei Yisrael, Maisu Bnei Yisrael va'asri v'kara depurayu. They would take Jews and tie them to the legs of their beds, umishamshi. And they would be with their wives, because the Jewish people were more beautiful than this paz, than these gems. And they thought that they would have more beautiful children as a result of having such an image kenegdam at this time. Of course, the Jewish people have a tradition, Gemara says in Nida, that at the Shas Zivug, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and determining who's going to be, what the characteristics of the child is going to be. Everything except for Tzaddik V'Rasha, because HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Me'ir HaShemayim. We believe that it's a time of Kedusha, and that affects our children, the Kedusha. But they're interested in the physical beauty. So one of the Jews asked his friend, where does it say this in the Torah, this tzara, that we have to sit here, this despicable, disgusting thing, we have to sit here watching this? It says in the Tochacha that even things that it doesn't say in the Torah, every despicable, horrible, degrading, degenerate type of experience and action that could be taken against us will be taken against us, even if it doesn't say Beferish in the Torah. Omar, the other one said, Kama marchikna miduchta plan. What's the distance between where I'm holding in my learning to the place where this pasuk is written? I don't know that pasuk. Strange conversation. Amalei says, Ingad, Pusto Upalga, about 1.5 columns away. You read a little further, you'll get there. Amalei said, "Imatay legabe, lo itzrichilach." You know, if I would have gotten there, I wouldn't have needed you to explain the pasuk. I have no idea what the message of that story is. Amar Avidam Rishmul Mishum Rav Mishumin Gamliel. My dechsiv. Again, going back to the story of the Churban Beitar. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Einei olul al nafshi mikol benos iri"? Arba meos batei knesios hayu bekrach Beitar. There were 400 batei knesios in the city of Beitar. Ubekalachas va'achas hayu ba'arba meos melamdei tinokos. And each of them had 400 melamdei tinokos. Each of them was running a giant yeshiva. And in each of those Malamde Tinokas had 400 children in front of them that they were teaching. So, what is that? 64 million Talmid? It's against the halacha, no? To have 400 kids in a class. The Gemara Bava Basra says that you can't have more than 25. Must be some very well behaved children. More likely, the number 400 is supposed to symbolize something. I think the Gemara says that's how many times you have to teach a Talmud. With patience, to go over it 400 times with him until he understands. When the enemy entered Beitar, the Tinokos, the children, were hitting the enemies with their sticks. Ukshagavar Oyev Uluchadum. And when the enemy captured them, karchum b'sifreim, they wrapped them in their svarim that they were learning, v'tzisum b'esh, and they burnt them in their own books. And from these tinokos, only Rav Shimon Gamliel survived. Another story, Tan Rabbanu Maisav Rav Shimon ben Chananya Shalach, and by the way, again, all these stories, there are parallels in the Holocaust. Taking children, burning them with their svarim. All of this happened again. For years, people thought this is like folklore. And then people, 70 years ago, saw it with their own eyes. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shalach Krach Gadol Shebaromi. This is the story we just mentioned this morning in the Drasha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya went to Krach Gadol Shebaromi. Amru lo tinok echad yesh bebeis ha'asurim yifei naim v'tov roi. There's this beautiful child that's being held in a jail of Kivtzosav, Siduros al-Totalim, and he has this beautiful hair. It's the same expression the Gemara uses when it describes the beauty of the Nazir, who has this beautiful hair. Mesech Nedarim Daftas, I think it is, and Nazir Daftas. Halach va'amad al Pesach Beis Asur. Mr. Bishur Ben Chananya goes to the doorway of the jail to see if this child, you know, how smart he is. Omar, so he said, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mi nasal l'mashisa Yaakov Yisrael levozim. Why is Klal Yisrael suffering so terribly? Ana oso tinok va'amar, the child said, Halo Hashem zu chatanu lo, v'lo avu bedrachav halach. V'lo shema b'torasa. That we haven't followed the ways of Hashem. We haven't been behaving properly. Omar, so he said, "Muftachni bo shemora hara bi Yisrael." I know about this child that he's going to be a great mora hara bi Yisrael. What was it that he saw about him that he's going to be a mora hara bi Yisrael? So we suggested this morning is that he saw that he was willing to blame himself. When everything goes wrong for people, they always point the finger at other people. And they always say, it's the enemy, it's this, it's that. No, it's us. We haven't done enough. So Rabbi Shubil Chani says, I will not leave here until I redeem this child for whatever amount of money they're asking for. Amru lo zaz mishamat shepedau b'mamon harbe. He didn't leave until he spent a lot of money to redeem this child, v'lo hayu yamim muatin ad shahora hora abi Yisrael umanu Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. And it didn't take long, he grew up to be a mora hora abi Yisrael, and he was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. You know, it doesn't say that he's going to be a tzaddik hador, that he's going to be a chassidish rebbe, that he's going to be a mashkiach or a shashiva. a mora hora'a bi Yisrael, a posek. That's a little bit odd. You would think tzidkus, you know, right? Well, what are the from the newspapers whenever they publish pictures of people? Harava goyin means a person's a Rosh Yeshiva, and harava tzaddik means he's a mashkiach, right? So what's mora hora'a? So in order to be a mora hora'a, a person has to be completely unbiased. Someone was telling me today, if you ever want like a really good unbiased opinion, you go to Rav David Feinstein. You know, you ask him, where should I give my tzedakah? So any other Rosh Yeshiva in the world, where should I give my tzedakah? My yeshiva. You know, want a totally unbiased opinion. To be a mora hara'a. Just completely honest, straightforward. Most people, when they're asked about why are you suffering, can't look in an unbiased way at why they're suffering. They can't. It's too painful. So it's this one's fault, it's that one's fault. This child was able to say it's because, in a totally unbiased way, because we've sinned, we haven't followed the ways of Hashem properly. That's it. It's going to be a mora hara of Yisrael. Amar Avidom Rav, Maisa Bibno, Bito Shabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha, another story that we read about in the Kinos tomorrow, the son and the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who we just spoke about, he was that child. So he had a very special son and daughter also. He was Kohen Gadol. Shenishbu l'shnei Adonim, they were captured by two different non-Jewish masters. Liyamim nizdavgu shneyam b'makom echad. These two masters happened to have met in the same place. Ze omer yeshli eved she'in kiyofyo b'chala olam. This one said, I have an Eved that's the most beautiful Eved you'll ever see. Ze omer yeshli shivcha shein b'chal olam kulo kiyofya. I have a shivcha that's the most beautiful shivcha you'll ever see. Amru bov v'nasiyim zel zeh, oh, let's make a shidduch. Unechalik bavlados will split the children. Hechnisim l'cheder, they brought him into a room. Ze yashav b'keren zav zeh, zu yashav b'keren zav zeh. Each one sat in their own corner. Ze omer ani kayin ben kayanim gadoilim. I am a kohen, the children of kohanim gadolim. Es a shivcha. I'm going to marry a shivcha. V'zos ha-meres ani kohenes pas kohenem gedolim minasi la'eved. I'm a kohenes, the daughter of kohenem gedolim. I'm going to marry an eved who bachu kol ha-layla. They cried all night. Kivin sha'ol amud ha-shachar, when amud ha-shachar arrived, hikiru ze'e ze'. They recognized each other. They realized who was in the room with them. V'naflu ze'e al ze'. V'go b'v'chia, they embraced each other and they cried out. Ad she'yotza nishmasan. Till their neshamos left. Why weren't they happy? If they could protect each other from sin, they could now live together. Some of the Achronim explain, Ben Yoyada, that he felt so terrible that he referred to her as a shivcha. Look who I was talking about. My holy sister, and I refer to her as a shivcha. And she felt so terribly that she had referred to him as an eved. Is that pshat in the story? It's not pshat in the story. But it's unbelievable. Think about what it means, what a family means. That what causes him to cry is that he didn't properly respect his sister. What causes her to cry is that she didn't properly respect her brother. And what causes both of them to suffer all night is that they are the Zera of Kohanim Gedolim. You know what we come from? You know how great our father is? You know how great our mother is, our grandfather, our grandmother? That they were raised to see from a front row seat the greatness of their parents, and they understood the responsibility of that. That's quite a feat, to raise children in such a way where the children understand what it means to be the children of their parents and the responsibility that comes along with that, what it means to be part of a shalsheles, of a chain, of a mesorah, and the responsibility that comes along with that. And the sensitivity that they have to each other. Not a sibling rivalry. how could I have called my sister a Shivcha? How could I have called my brother an Eved? That's what Yirmiyahu cries. I cry for these people. Amrei Shlakish, we're coming close to the end of the Agaritas here already. Amrei Shlakish, Maisa b'isha achas, v'tzafnas bas piniel, Shema. There was a woman whose name was Tzafnas bas Peniel. Tzafnas? Why was she called Tzafnas? She called Tzafn b'yofya, because everyone looked at her beauty, everyone gazed at her beauty. She was so gorgeous. Bas Peniel? Bito shel Kohen Gadol shoshimeish lifnai v'lifnim. She was a daughter of the Kohen Gadol, so she was not only beautiful, she had yichus too. Very good for shiduchim. And her captors had their way with her all night. And the next day, the captor dressed her up in 7 garments, and brought her out. He was done with her already, so he brought her out to sell her as a shivcha. And a very ugly guy came. Amar lo. The mechur, the ugly man, said to the captor, "Hareini es yofia, I want to see your beauty." Amar lo, "Reika, im ata rotza likach kach, shein ki yofia b'chol olam kulo." This is it's a grab bag. It's a surprise. Trust me, I'm telling you, she's the most beautiful thing on earth. Amar lo, the mechur, this ugly man, said, "Afal pikein, I don't care, I want to see your beauty anyway." Hivshita shisha chalakim, Chalukim, he undressed 6 layers of clothing, Ushvi Karata. And the 7th one she tore Nispal Shaba Efer and rolled around in the dirt, Amra Lafanov, and she said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalolam, Im Aleinu Lachasta, if you didn't have Rachmanus on us, Al Kedusha Shimcha Gibor Lamed Lo Tachus, why don't you have at least Rachmanus on your shame, on your name? V'alea konin Yirmiyahu, it's about her that Yirmiyahu is mekanein bas ami chigrisak v'ispal shibeifer, that this holy daughter wearing sackcloth rolling around in the dirt. Evel yachid asilach mispat tamrudim ki pisom yavo hashodeid aleinu. Alayich lo namar ela aleinu, kaviyach lo alay va alayich ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it happens to me and it happens to you together. And it's the reminder with all the suffering that Klal Yisrael has, HaKadoshim Anochi B'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffering along with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Galus along with us. And the last story. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Mai Dechsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Micha, "Va'ashku gever uveso v'ish v'nachalaso"? Ma'isa b'admecha shnosanein uveshus rabo. There was a guy that fell in love with his Rebbe's wife, not Rebbe, but v'shulia denagri hava. It was his person who trained him professionally as a carpenter. His wife, pamachas hutzrach lilvos. One time the Rebbe needed to borrow money, the teacher needed to borrow money. Amar lo, the Talmud said, Shagar ishtecha etzliv alavena. Send your wife and I'll give her the money to, she'll be the shliach. Shigar ishto etzlo. So he sent his wife. How could he send his wife? The fact that there was such a request, send your wife, shouldn't he have caught on to that? Maybe he was embarrassed to go himself to borrow money from his own student. So he was willing to send his wife rather than suffer the embarrassment. Sometimes things we don't want to do, we're perfectly comfortable with other people, even people that we love, doing for us. That's not the way it's supposed to work. I always tell my Talmidim, the Chassanim that I teach, your wife should never have to take out the garbage. You're so chashuv, you can't take out the garbage. She should be too precious to you to be doing something like that. Right, whether it's the garbage, whatever it is, whatever the person shouldn't look at something beneath his own dignity and send someone else to do it when he doesn't want to do it. If you don't want to do it, that should be more reason why you don't want your wife to do it. Shaha ima shlosha yamim. So the student kept the wife for 3 days. Kadam va'atzlo. 3 days later, the teacher says, hey, I wonder how come my wife never came back. Amar lo, ishti shishigarti lach. So he goes to the student and he says, I remember my wife? Heichan hi, what happened to her? Where is she? Amar lo, ani patati alialter. He says, she came for a minute, I gave her the money, I sent her away. But v'shamati shatinokos nesalu babaderech. But oh man, that woman's a prutzo, because I heard that, you know, there were young men that were messing around with her. Amar lo, ma'ase. So the teacher said, what should I do to her? Amar lo, matasha me'el atzasi, gersha. You want my advice? You got to get rid of that wife. You need to divorce her. Everything about this relationship is messed up. Amar lo, so the teacher says, ksubasa maruba, I can't afford her ksuba. Come full circle. That was the first story. Amar lo, ani alavecha. So the Talmud says, I'll lend you money. V'teinla, ksubasa, and then you can give her the ksuba. Amad zevigirsha. So he divorced her. Halachu nasa. Next thing you know, the Talmud marries the woman. Kivin she gives mano lo ayelo lefaro. When it came time to pay the money, the Rebbe didn't have what to pay. The teacher didn't have what to pay. Amar lo, so the student said, Bova seimi b'chovcha. You'll come, you'll work for me to work off your chov. Vayuheim yoshvim yochum v'shosin. So the student, with his new wife, the ex-wife of the teacher, were sitting and eating and drinking, have a merry old time. And he was forced, the teacher, was forced to be serving as a butler. And tears were streaming down his face. And were falling into their coasts. And that's when the chasima of the Gzar Din happened. At that moment. Why at that moment? Because so much of what was wrong is reflected in the story. Conniving, plotting, pretending to be there for our friends and to help them and advise them when we're really advising them off a cliff. Only worried about our self-interest under the guise of helping others. Oh, you want my advice what to do with this woman? For you? Just worried about his own self-interest. People not appreciating the relationships that are most critical, most important to them. Ask Avram Avinu, Aye Sarishtecha, Hine Boel. Right away. He knows exactly where she is. 3 days! Oh. Football game's finally over. Where's my wife? Everything that's wrong. So the Gzar Din is sealed. Va'ar Milan, some say the Gzar Din was sealed, Ashtep Silos, B'ner Echad. When two men were Boel the same woman and they violated the Yisr of Eshes Ish. When Klal Yisrael degenerates to the point where the sins of Arayos become commonplace, that's also a great cause of terrible Churban.